Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15 plus 1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
So Adam Schiff has been officially censured. What does that mean? Well, it means Adam Schiff's going to raise money off of it and try to run for the United States Senate in California. That's what it means. Welcome to the Dana Show. Great to have you today. It is me, Rich Zeoli, back in for Dana today and through the rest of the week. Hope you are having a great day so far. There's an update on the missing submersible. There's some breaking news on that. Just a few moments ago, the United States Coast Guard has said they found a debris field within the sub-search area. And that's what they're saying right now. Debris field found within the sub-search area. So that I don't know beyond that what that means. They're going to have the next update at 3 p.m. Obviously, the air, they said originally was going to run out by about 7 o'clock this morning. And then it was 8 o'clock. Then the CEO of OceanGate came out and said they actually have more than people realize, so they have more time. That's what he said, and let's hope so. I mean, I know people are watching this with bated breath here, but it's a Herculean task as they're searching a site twice the size of the state of Connecticut right now, trying to find the submersible. And a lot of people praying and lighting candles and just hoping for a miracle here. The problem is, of course, is that even if they locate it, they don't have anything to extract it from the bottom. They could detangle it if it is, in fact, tangled in something. But if it needs to be craned up to the surface, they don't have anything for that. You know, if you think about that old game you play with your kids, the crane drops down, you try to grab a toy at the bottom of the thing, something like that, it's possible to bring out there, but it's not in the search area yet. They sent a ship over from France that could detangle it, but they still haven't located it. So obviously, you know, every second counts here within this search and rescue, which may very soon become a search and recovery. So I'll keep you updated as new developments come out throughout the show today. Interestingly enough, as I watched yesterday, finished up the Dana Show, did my show in Philadelphia from 3 to 7 p.m., watched as they voted to censor Adam Schiff. There were a number of Republicans who voted present because they are on, I guess, a particular committee where they typically don't vote on these matters, the House Ethics Committee. And so it's apparently a form of etiquette and protocol where they don't vote on these matters because the House Ethics Committee may have to hear something of this matter and this magnitude, and we'll see what it is. Now, remember why Adam Schiff was censured here. Falsehoods, misrepresentations, and abuses of sensitive information. In addition to it being a censure, which you could argue is a slap, there's another phase of this. The next phase of this is the investigation into Adam Schiff, and particularly what he was lying about when it came to sensitive information. You remember, Adam Schiff was saying for years, over and over and over again, we've seen the evidence, we've seen the evidence, the evidence is there. The evidence is there, and we know that Trump is a Russian stooge, we know that he's beholden to Russia, and from his perch in the House Intelligence Committee, people went, oh, well, I guess you must know because you've seen it. You have the eyes only access to these sort of things. He didn't. It was a lie. When the Durham report came out, a number of people right away said, if there's anyone who should have to pay for this, it's Adam Schiff, because this little slime ball went out there and lied to people and misled them into believing that there actually was evidence and that it was all going to come out, and it never did. And they said, you know, if anyone here deserves to be looked into for this, it's Schiff. Because he wasn't just a member of Congress. He was a member of the House Intelligence Committee. And he has no intelligence here, clearly. And he's a liar. Now, he's turning this around to try to use this to run for Senate in California. No Democrats voted to censure him, of course, as you would imagine. Here's a little audio here. Cut number one, please.
By its adoption of House Resolution 521, the House has resolved that the House of Representatives censures Adam Schiff, representative of the 30th Congressional District of California, for misleading the American public and for conduct unbecoming of an elected member of the House of Representatives, that Representative Adam Schiff will be forthwith present himself in the well of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure.
I think as Eli Lake put it, and I'll play you Adam Schiff in just a moment, pretending that you had evidence that Russia had just elected the president of the United States of America and conspired to steal the election when you didn't have the evidence helped Russia. You were helping Russia. You were making Russia look incredibly powerful here, that they were able to influence our presidential election and steal it away from Hillary Clinton. That Russia, our one-time great enemy on the world stage, the evil empire, had installed the president of the United States of America, the ultimate Manchurian candidate. And he pretended that for years without any evidence. You know, it's one thing for some bozo member of Congress to be out there spouting his mouth off or saying these things without any evidence whatsoever to back it up. And then you just write that person off as a kook. But the difference with that person and Schiff is Schiff on the Intelligence Committee goes, oh, no, no, oh, there's evidence. Oh, we've seen it. It's there. I can't tell you what it is because it's classified, but I can see it because I'm on the House Intelligence Committee, so I know. And this bozo was on every single news show for years. He was on MSNBC and CNN and Fox News and all, not Fox News, but a bunch of stations all across the country repeating this over and over again. Now, without evidence, he goes out there and says another baseless point, this time attacking special counsel John Durham, whose report debunked all of these lies that Adam Schiff literally spent years peddling. Cut number four.
Answer, and so many others, what it really betrayed is exactly what he accused the FBI of, and that is confirmation bias. You could really see his bias into thinking that what the Trump campaign did was fine. That he wasn't going to call it collusion, even though there is no other name for what the Trump campaign tried to do. But he clearly didn't want to provide any answer that he thought belittling of the former president, and really in doing so betrayed the bias that he had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, so he's still out there saying baseless nonsense, and the media loves it. They really do. The media in this country, the corporate media, they're so shameful. You know, they're, as long as anybody comes in and bashes Trump, they don't care if the government spies on people. They don't care if the government targets people. They don't care if the government is involved in an investigation based on political opposition research that is completely unfounded without evidence. They don't care. They have an agenda. And as long as all those entities are working to fulfill that agenda, then they're all on board with it. That's why they put these same liars over and over again on television. Brennan, Clapper. Let's take John Brennan, for example. Years ago, there was this movie that came out called The Report. It was an Amazon Prime movie. It stars the guy from Star Wars who plays, what's his name? The Kylo Ren. Adam Driver. So he in that movie, plays the lead investigator for the Senate Joint Committee looking into enhanced interrogation / torture. And there's a great scene in the movie where John Brennan, as the director of the CIA, breaks into the skiff, violates federal law, and steals all the evidence. And that hero, the guy who should have been prosecuted for that, is on every talk show in America now bashing Trump and talking how Trump's an enemy. Here's you want to see an example of this? Here's John Brennan just yesterday, cut 15.
But John Durham did not reveal anything new. In fact, my reading of the report, particularly those aspects that I have firsthand knowledge about, I think he did intentionally misrepresent and skew his findings in order to support the basic premise of his investigation, which was what Bill Barr and Donald Trump wanted, was to try to discredit the investigation that was underway into the 2016 presidential election interference.
So the guy who broke into the skiff, that was a committee chaired by a Democrat, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, to steal evidence and to particularly impede a federal investigation into the executive branch of government and the CIA. That guy is a noted expert on ethics. He's a noted expert on on ethical investigations. It's amazing. It really is. But as long as you bash Trump, you're welcome. You're welcome to come on the shows, and they'll have you as much as possible. Same thing with John Clapper. John Clapper went out there and lied to everybody. James Clapper went out there and lied to everybody about the NSA metadata gathering, the illegal surveillance of Americans. He lied before a Senate committee on this. When they asked him flat out, are you spying on American citizens? He said no. He was under oath. He perjured himself. He's another one who's always on TV out there as Mr. Ethics and bashing Trump, and Trump's a threat to democracy and everything like this. I mean, these people will put these kind of liars on television over and over and over again in the corporate media. As long as they bash Trump, that's fine. They're welcome. No matter what any of their past sins, the Iraq war, torture, it doesn't matter. It's all fine. It's no big deal. None of that stuff matters anymore. And of course, Schiff, he's so shifty, he's going to use this now to run for Senate in California. Absolutely he is. He's already running commercials. He's already raising money off it. But it's okay. The Republicans still did the right thing, because the censure is not just a slap. The censure is also going to be the investigation into him lying and misleading everybody and pretending he had evidence that he clearly did not have. This is Adam Schiff yesterday, right after the vote, cut two.
No, not at all. I think the investigation of his misconduct was very important. It ultimately led to his impeachment, which I was proud to lead. And it led to the first bipartisan vote to remove a president in U.S. history. I was also proud to serve on the January 6th committee, and I would do all of that again. And I would do it the same way.
Yeah, that's the thing. He would do it all over again. And he would have the cheers of the Democrats in the media, despite the cost of the taxpayers, despite the wasting everybody's time, despite persecuting a duly elected president of the United States. I'll do it all over again. Guy would do it all over again. No problem. It's amazing. It really is. It what we have here in the Democrat Party is sad. And John Durham, one of the most amazing things that I realized yesterday was that John Durham tried to get Comey and Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, all these other people who were very vocal for years to be interviewed by him, and they would not agree to an interview. And that's, I think, incredibly frustrating. Cut number eight.
First, let me make it clear that it is as disappointing, perhaps more disappointing to me and my colleagues, that these people would not agree to be interviewed. You know, some of them had a lot to say publicly, but they refused to be interviewed by our folks.
Yeah, see that? They would not be interviewed by our folks. There's a reason for that. They were never going to cooperate. So all these hypocrites who were out there bashing the Durham report, bashing John Durham and his motivations, would not talk to the guy. They wouldn't sit down for an interview. It's infuriating. It really is. And that's why when you hear Adam Schiff bash John Durham and saying it's biased, it was a strategic effort by all these other people, James Comey included, who's still out there saying Donald Trump could be a Russian agent, to not cooperate with the special counsel, to not cooperate with his investigation. And yet these people are hailed throughout the media, you understand, as the poster children of virtue and ethics in our government. They won't even cooperate. They would not cooperate with the investigation. It's amazing. All right, we got a lot to talk about here on the Dana Show. We're just getting warmed up. I'll give you more updates on the debris field, which has been found within the sub-search area. As we continue on the show, it's me, Rich, in for Dana. Don't go away.
When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/ Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Yeah, well, we're watching here as the Coast Guard says they found debris within the sub-search area, the submersible search area. That's the latest. We don't have a lot more details on that, but obviously I'm watching. We'll keep you updated and posted as new information comes available. But got five things to share with you, so let's do it, Steve.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
United States of America, the FDA has approved the nation's first ever lab-grown meat. Ugh, chicken made from animal cells. I have no interest in this whatsoever. But this is the climate change nonsense. You know, we can't have actual meat. We need to grow it in a lab. And then we won't have to have the environmental impact. And that's what's driving this. And Chef Andrew Gruhl from Los Angeles had a great point about this. This isn't real food. I'm out. When it comes to lab-grown meat, I'm out. I want nothing to do with it. Give me meat, actual meat. And don't give me vegan meat. I'm tired of vegetables identifying as meat. Okay, until the day comes when my Italian sausage can identify as broccoli, I want no part of this nonsense. It's a game. Geraldo Rivera has quit the Five, and he said it was always tough being the odd man out. To be honest with you, I forgot Geraldo was even on the Five. I knew his mustache was there, but I just forgot Geraldo was on there. But speaking of Fox News, even though they have suffered a lot since they parted ways with Tucker Carlson, fired him, Gutfeld is riding the wave to stardom. In fact, still the number one show in the late night category comedy of the coveted 11 p.m. slot. Fox News Gutfeld rides the anti-woke humor to ratings stardom. And a lot of that, of course, is he and his co-hosts on the show and also on The Five. They approach the news with a little bit of humor, I would say. Whereas I think the other comedy shows out there, Stephen Colbert and the others, they approach news with anger and vitriol, and there's very little comedy. But that's the problem, is that the left is humorless. And as I told you yesterday, their women are not nearly as attractive as ours. So just remember that. Our women are attractive and also funny. That's right. Robot judges may replace humans in deciding minor court disputes. Master of the Rolls Jeffrey Voss says, yeah, we could have Judge Dredd coming. I say no thanks to this. I know artificial intelligence is going to wind up replacing all these jobs. I keep hearing this all the time. But I don't need a robot judge. Just give me a real judge. Give me a judge in a black robe who's going to actually adjudicate, not a machine. All right? Call me crazy. And Wimbledon, speaking of AI, will be using artificial intelligence commentary this summer, and they're going to clone John McEnroe as soon as possible. I guess they have to perfect him throwing his tennis racket on the court, right? This is the Dana Show. We're coming right back.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
All right, so as we continue here on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today and tomorrow. Thanks for being here, hanging out. Appreciate it. The latest right now is the United States Coast Guard has said they have a debris field has been found within the sub-search area, the submersible which I think we're just calling it a sub. It's not a submarine, and I don't mean to imply that it is. People get upset by that, but it's a submersible. But just saying sub is just easier, and it's shorter on the screen to put it than typing out submersible. So for the purposes of this, we'll just say sub. But you know what? It's not a submarine. It's just a submersible. But still, we'll shorten the word and use the first three letters. So they say they have this debris field has been found. Beyond that, they don't have much at this point. The Coast Guard's going to give an update at 3 p.m. The shot that they're showing on TV right now is up by St. John's, Canada. This is an international search and rescue effort, which is underway. And there's lots of different opinions and theories about what needs to happen here. And there's also a lot of questions regarding how something like this could happen after they've made, I think, 150, maybe 180 successful dives to the Titanic and back. So they want to recover this thing, obviously, even if it, you know, even if the worst case scenario comes true, they need to recover it to get answers. So they're not going to give up, I don't think, anytime soon. But we are at a point now where they are running out of oxygen, breathable air. I mean, it's inevitable. You're in a very confined space. There's several individuals on board. People are panicking, I would imagine. Very, very nervous. And they have no way of opening even, there's no door to open. There's nothing like that they can even access. So it's an incredibly complicated situation right now. But I would imagine that even if they are unable to actually rescue anybody, they're still going to try to locate this thing to get answers to the best that they can. I don't think there's a black box on there, like an airplane or something like that, if there's a crash. But, you know, if they locate it and it is caught on something, you know, some sort of debris or something that got trapped, then they'll be able to assess that and figure that out. Otherwise, you know, there's theories about maybe it did combust, you know, and maybe the pressure, and there was a micro tear of some sort that caused it to. There's lots of different theories, but finding debris in this area is at least a clue of something, maybe, possibly. So we'll keep you updated on this, obviously, as this goes on. So let's see now, as we're talking about the issue of Adam Schiff, little Shifty Schiff, being censured and what that means and where we go from here. And I think it's really important to note that with 2024 coming up, you know, all of this is going to be on the table. The ethics, the investigation, the Trump's investigation. Let's face it, it's all going to be on the table. Everything is going to be up for grabs. You have another person jumping in the race today for president of the United States. You have this guy, Will Hurd, who's a former Texas congressman, who's another Trump critic getting in the race. And what amazes me is that you'd think it would be a two-man race. You think that everybody who's anti-Trump would just get out and back DeSantis at this point. I mean, he's got the biggest lead, and it's him and Trump, and make it a two-man race. Because what they're actually doing right now is they're going to have a replay of 2016, which case you're going to have 16, 17 people on that debate stage, theoretically. Now, maybe not for the first debate. The first debate is August 23rd. For that debate, the RNC has said you have to be polling at more than 1%, and you have to have 40,000 individual donors. Now, for a lot of these people, it's not that hard to come up with those things. So you might have a very crowded debate stage, in which case then every candidate gets to say maybe like two things the whole night. But every person who comes into the race as an anti-Trumper actually only helps Trump, because it's just one more person to dilute the anti-Trump vote that is out there in the Republican primary. But you're dealing with egos, tremendous egos that are out there, and people who believe that they are the one who can break through. I mean, take Chris Christie, for example. Does Chris Christie really think he can win? Yeah, he does. He really does. The people that are around him believe this is the strategy that they think. They think that what will happen is DeSantis will flame out. People will realize the guy doesn't have a big personality, and he can't go one-on-one against Trump. They'll lose interest in him, and there's Chris Christie waiting, the big bluster, the big personality to take him on and battle him. They really do believe that. You know, I've heard other theories that maybe he's running because he's looking for a cabinet job in a DeSantis administration. I'm sure that that's part of it, but he doesn't lose anything by running. You know, he can go back to ABC News and be a commentator on the weekend show with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. I say that tongue-in-cheek, obviously. Or Christie can continue his lobbying efforts. I mean, the guy's a lobbyist, so he has all these clients that he represents, and this only just helps boost his name recognition. And it's not his money. I mean, he's raising money. People write him checks. So I think that that's really what he's going for. They really do believe this. And does Will Hurd think he can become the guy that stops Trump? I mean, what is the strategy if not? Why would you get in the race? You're trying to boost your name recognition, maybe write a book, maybe get a little platform or something, maybe hope to land a show somewhere. But all you're doing is helping Trump, really. I mean, honestly. You know, at some point you would think, and they thought this back in 2016, they thought, well, maybe in 2016, the party will coalesce around somebody, Jeb Bush or Ted Cruz or somebody, and then that person will be, it'll be a mano-a-mano, one-on-one. By the time they even thought about that, it was far too late. And I think the reason why is because most people in politics just have their egos are too big. They all think they could be the one who wins. They think they can be the one that actually does it, and that everybody else is weak. Everybody else is a loser but them. They all think like that. You know, I mean, you know the egos of politicians. I don't have to tell you that. So then coming back to Adam Schiff, who wants to run for U.S. Senate in California, which would be very interesting because Gavin Newsom is ready to run for president. If Joe Biden, who has no clue where he is and started to sing the, put his hand on the chest for the Indian national anthem until he realized it wasn't his national anthem, he has no clue where he is. If he does not run, Gavin Newsom is just chomping at the bit. He is so ready to run. He can't wait. And the Democrats, like I've been saying, they have a Kamala Harris problem. What do they do with the first black woman who's on the ticket who they know would lose? Because she's just not good. She's not a good candidate. It's not because of racism. It's not because of sexism. Although if you want to accuse anybody of being racist and sexist, it's the Democrat Party. They didn't nominate her. They nominated the old white guy, Joe Biden. So before you hear the whining from woke about racist, sexist for not nominating Kamala Harris, hey, listen, that was you guys. All right. That was the Democrats. You went with the old white dude, not her. So I don't want to hear it. Don't put that on me. But the reason why she wouldn't win is because she's a terrible politician. She always sounds like she's high or something with that cackle that she does. And she says things that make no sense. Here's an example. Cut 14.
I think of those two frogs. You know, the two frogs in the two pots. So for your listeners, here it goes. So there are two pots of water and two frogs. And in one pot, you put the frog in the water and you slowly turn up the heat. And that frog's just hanging out as the heat just slowly gets hotter to the point that water starts to boil and that frog perishes. In the other pot of water, you first turn up the heat real high. The water's boiling. You drop that frog in. He'll jump right out. Mm. The lesson there, as far as I'm concerned, don't be that first frog.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like somebody who smoked weed around a campfire who's explaining the analogy of the frog in the boiling water and is also at the same time craving Doritos. That's what it sounds like in my mind. So that's the next president of the United States right there? Really? She can't, like a children's fable. She can't even get right. This is what I mean. And Gavin Newsom's chomping up a bit. He wants to run. He so desperately wants to run for president. And I've told you, I think it'd be a great thing to see if it were to be DeSantis versus Newsom, and I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm just saying if it were to work out that way, you could put California on trial versus Florida one-on-one. But what the Democrats are really worried about is they're really worried that Trump is going to be the nominee and he's going to win because he'll beat Joe Biden this time around, the economy being the way it is, and they're terrified of this, and they didn't think they'd get to this point. So they are going to keep coming after him until they can try to stop him. They're not going to give up on that. What you saw play out recently with the Department of Justice and something that happened yesterday where they wound up getting a guilty plea, or I should say they wound up charging the guy in that other classified documents case with the exact same charges under the Espionage Act that they charged the former president with. They want to make a precedent here under the Espionage Act. The goal, of course, is to get Trump out of the race. That's what they're hoping for. To that point, there's still January 6th on the horizon. And don't forget, they want to come after him also for seditious conspiracy. They want to be able to turn around and say, you see, now you led January 6th. That's a seditious conspiracy. Find him guilty of that in a D.C. court and then bar him from running for president under the 14th Amendment. They're not going to stop coming at him. They're going to keep doing this. A point Senator Rand Paul made the other night was every time they do that, he seems to get stronger. And that's true. And then if you have that situation where his people become more emboldened to him, and then you're diluting the vote from all the other Republicans who are in the race, he's probably going to wind up being the nominee. I mean, that's what we're looking at right now. And then the Democrats are going to try to pull out every stop they can to bar him from becoming president, because these legal things are not going to be wrapped up by the time he actually winds up even running. By the fall of 2024, I doubt things are really going to be decided by then. They're going to try, though. They are certainly going to try. They are not going to give up on that point, not in the least. And when you think about Adam Schiff and Shifty Schiff here and the Russia probe and what they did and going after Trump and this idea of collusion, trying to stop him from winning the presidency, and then when he becomes the president of the United States, to work to actively try to drag him down, to make his presidency completely unsuccessful, hoping that Republicans would jump the ship and say, we can't support this guy. He's a Russian operative. You know, the old Cold War. We can't do this. We can't let Ivan win. That's what they were hoping for. And so what happened then is that Republicans who were against him had a rally around him because he was under attack and they knew that this was BS. So he wound up bringing in a lot of people who might have been anti-Trump at first, and then also with his policies too. But Democrats haven't learned that lesson. I mean, you would think that they would just leave the guy alone, you know, but they can't. It's a great line from Godfather Part II when Michael Corleone says, never hate your enemy. It clouds your judgment. And that's really what the problem is for them. They hate him so much, it clouds their judgment. Every time they keep coming after him, they keep emboldening him within the ranks. And then at the same time they do that, they open the door for some other Republican to jump in the race to be the anti-Trump candidate. So now what are you up to, like 12? You know, it's 2016 playing out all over again. It really is amazing. Here's Adam Schiff, who's now, like I said, using this to run for Senate in California, to use this censure against him to raise money, to launch his profile. This is him yesterday on the floor of the House of Representatives, cut number 3.
To my Republican colleagues who introduced this resolution, I thank you. You honor me with your enmity. You flatter me with this falsehood. You who are the authors of a big lie about the last election must condemn the truth tellers, and I stand proudly before you.
He stands proudly before you. Here's a representative named Mike Quigley, or Quigley, who claims Republicans wanted to censure Adam Schiff because, and lo and behold, I had no idea about this, cut number 6.
What really gnaws on the majority, what really bothers them, is that Mr. Schiff was way better than anybody on their team at debate, at leadership, at messaging, at legal knowledge.
Yeah, there you go. What it's really about, right? Here's Benny Thompson, though. Benny Thompson says the reason why Republicans are going after Adam Schiff is because, well, they just want to be just like him, cut 5.
These attempts to censor Adam have been orchestrated to distract, but no one is fooled. Extreme MAGA Republicans are targeting Adam because he's everything they wish they could be.
Mm-hmm. Everything that they wish they could be. Imagine that. Everything they wish they could be. So now Adam Schiff will have to answer for a lot of different things. And hopefully we'll get some answers about just how he lied to the American people and led them down this road of saying he saw the evidence of Russian collusion. This is The Dana Show. We're getting warmed up here. We got a lot to talk about. More updates coming on the submersible. What have they found? Don't go away.
What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
By the way, you know, the left is coming after Justice Samuel Alito. They're coming after all the Supreme Court justices. They want them all gone. They want their revenge after the court overturned Roe v. Wade. And they want to try to get rid of Thomas. They want to try to get rid of Alito. You know, they tried to stop Gorsuch, obviously. They tried to stop Brett Kavanaugh. They try to stop these people. I'm going to get into that in the next hour with you. But ProPublica wrote this piece attacking Justice Alito for going on a fishing trip with a rich guy. Like, who cares? But this is what the game is, because the game is still the court. Remember, the left, in their mind, what they want with the Supreme Court is for it to be the legislature that they can't get votes in otherwise. So they can't get their nutty ideas are not popular. They can't get it through Congress. So they want the Supreme Court to be their legislature. And they want to expand the court. You always hear Cory Booker talk about this all the time. Expand the court to 14, and then they'll be able to railroad their nutty ideas through. The ultimate goal, in addition to taking over the Supreme Court, make D.C. a state, get two new Democrat senators, make Puerto Rico a state, get two more Democrat senators, and then run the table, get rid of the filibuster, run the table in the Senate, redistrict the House so that you can make sure you have safe Democrat seats, take over the Supreme Court, and then just run wild with at least two branches of government for the foreseeable future. That's their goal. You know, that's what they're working towards. And the efforts to try to stop them are incredibly important, because that's not a republic. That's them taking over. That's a takeover is what it is. So the latest attack on Justice Alito is just that. And don't forget what they just went through, you know, going after Clarence Thomas all the time. They don't seem to stop, and they never will. So I'll get into that with you in the next hour. Riley Gaines, too. Riley Gaines yesterday, and we covered this a little bit during her testimony on the floor of the Senate, before the Senate committee, I should say, about what she had to go through. You know, watching Leah Thomas, a biological male named Will Thomas, undress, and the, you know, the man junk just hanging out there in the locker room. It's a horrible situation. And as a dad, I keep thinking about that. My little girl having to endure that in the locker room. It's not right. It's not fair. And then, of course, the competition. When you are in a situation where these guys are beating these women in the sports, and you don't have the Democrat Party anymore running to defend women's athletics. So we'll get into that as well as we go on. The other question, too, coming back to Adam Schiff and this whole thing, the guy who was the impeachment prosecutor, the guy who led the Russia investigation, he was a con man. He was a con man. Convincing everybody that he saw something that you and I did not have access to. I'm not a member of the House Intelligence Committee, are you? No. So you can't know what he knows. These guys on the Intelligence Committee know things that most members of Congress don't know. This is why it's so important to get to the bottom of this. There, for years, Adam Schiff was out there lying his face off about what he saw, what he knew, and what he had. Misleading people and costing the American taxpayer $100 million? Think of all the investigations into Russia collusion, the impeachment, the nonsense. What did that cost you and me? About $100 million, maybe more. Maybe more. He's a con man. And the fact that the Democrats now are siding with him shows you that they don't care about abusing government. If the government abuses its powers, its processes, it doesn't matter, as long as they do it for their ends and their aims. Nobody's ever had to go through this before. And they're still doing it. They're still coming after Trump. And I'll get into that next hour, too, because now we know a little bit about what he's going to be able to see as part of his defense, as the prosecution has to make it all available to him. So a big second hour coming up here on The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana, the latest on the submersible and the rescue effort. Don't go away. We're waiting for the latest updates on the submersible as they found a debris field near the Titanic. But, of course, it could be the Titanic's debris field. So we're just waiting and watching, hoping and praying. Any updates we have this afternoon, I will make sure I share them with you. That is Rich Zeoli in for my friend Dana today again. Great to be with you on a busy news day. Not as busy, though, as yesterday, but way busier than summers of the days past. It seems like there was a time in radio during the summer where things would slow down a little bit. You know, you talk about which sunscreen flavor you like the best. But now those days are gone. And politics is a 24/7 sport these days, obviously. So we're all over it for you. And Riley Gaines yesterday was phenomenal in her testimony before the Senate. She really was. And Martina Navratilova, who is a tennis legend, as you know, a lesbian. I'm only saying that because the LGBTQ+ IA, every letter of the alphabet coalition, they want you to think that everybody thinks like they do, and they don't. Martina Navratilova has been an advocate for women's sports. Women in women's sports, as in biological women, as in women, just women. In fact, Riley Gaines actually quoted Martina Navratilova yesterday in her opening statement. She said, "There will always be significant numbers of boys and men who would beat the best girls and women in head-to-head competition. Claims to the contrary are simply a denial of science." And she said, "Thanks for being such a force," to Martina Navratilova, who responded to, there's a Twitter site, Twitter person, entity, boysversewomen.com, and said, "The witness was later unable to answer if males hold advantages over females in sports. She is the head of an organization that meets with the White House on a nearly daily basis on this and other matters." And Martina Navratilova quote tweeted that, which is when you take the tweet and you put some comments on top of it. And she said, four words, "This is just sad." And it is sad that we're at this place where you have to deny even science. You know, yesterday, one of the doctors who was there was asked the question, you know, are there actual differences, biological differences, and do men have advantages? And the doctor says, I don't know. How could I know? How would I know? Of course there are. And to deny that is part of the political correctness of the day. And remember what I told you yesterday. Political correctness is not just the nice thing to say at parties. You know, there's always the idea of political correctness being, well, you know, you don't talk about politics or religion at the Thanksgiving table because you don't want to fight with your in-laws or whatever it is. Or the PC thing to say to somebody, or that's all well and good in the cultural sense, but that's not where politically correct comes from. Politically correct really comes from tyrannical regimes where you would be punished if you said the wrong things, or if you did not say the right things, you would be punished. You could be fined, you could be jailed, you could disappear, you could be literally killed. It still goes on in the world, it goes on in China. You know, COVID scientists who just mysteriously fall off the roof of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, for example. So when we say something's politically correct, you also have to deny reality in many, many cases. So it's whatever the intelligentsia wants you to say. And George Orwell wrote about this. You have the Ministry of Truth, and they come up with what the facts are, and you have to repeat them. And if, you know, 5 + 2 = 9, 5 + 2 = 9, and you better say it equals 9, because if you challenge it, you're going to be out the door. And so what happens then is intellectuals and people like doctors and others have to pretend that they don't know answers to things because they're not allowed to, because it contradicts what the intelligentsia wants them to say. And we see that play out all the time. It's sad. It really is. Biological females are most likely to compete in their biological female category, as that's their best shot at winning and maintains the principle of fairness. With an open category, there are no question marks, no provos, no provisos, no asterisks, no doubts. It's a simple solution. Once somebody has gone through male puberty, there is no way to erase that physical advantage. You cannot simply turn back the clock, for instance, by trying to lower testosterone levels. It's true. That's just all science. That's all science is what it is. World Athletics had adopted a policy to exclude transgender female athletes from women's competitions. And Navratilova called it a step in the right direction. Said, "In the wake of the World Athletics announcement, I think the best idea would be to have a biological female and biological girls categories, and then an open category. It will be a category for all comers. Men who identify as women who identify as women who identify as men who identify as women, non-binary, it would be a catch-all. It's already being explored in athletics and swimming in Britain." And then you have categories where biological females can compete against biological females. And you could have biological male categories where biological men can compete against biological men. And if you want to compete in the other category, you know, knock yourself out. I mean, it's a good solution. You can compete whatever you pick. You pick the category. But that's not, to do that is not what the left wants. What the left wants is for you to abandon science. Really, for the people that have the signs on their lawn that say, "We believe in science," they literally want you to pretend that science, biology, is not real, and that a biological man can be a woman. And so if you say that he can't be on the women's team, you are denying their science, which is actually science. But it's their science, which is not science. You see what I mean? It's all very confusing. But that's the game that's played. You can't just have another category. The reason why they won't allow, because I've for years I've just thought, well, just have a gender neutral locker room. So you have three. You have a women's room, a men's room, and then the third. And anybody can go in there. No, it's not about accommodation. It's about compliance. It's not about accommodating or tolerating. It's about acceptance. You must accept what the left says, period. A man is a woman. If the man says he's a woman, period. Don't argue with it. Don't debate it. Don't try to make accommodations. And they'll invoke things like separate but unequal. They really will. They'll say, well, separate but unequal is unconstitutional. And you go, well, but it's completely irrelevant. That was around race. But to just simply say that a biological male has to compete with other men, then you are not adopting to what the left wants, which is you have to abandon actual science, actual biology, and go down their road of new science, new biology, whatever they want it to be. So the very same people that lecture you all the time about science, that worship at the altar of Anthony Fauci, that constantly lecture you, they wouldn't want you to be in a store if you weren't vaccinated, wouldn't want you to be around them if you weren't wearing a mask. These same people are the ones who would scream at the top of their lungs and tell you that you are a bigot and anti-science because you won't accept the fact that a man can be a woman. I know, it's crazy. The problem with Martina Navratilova's idea is that it's making an accommodation. They don't want that. You have to kneel down and accept it. Pure compliance, period. Acceptance, compliance with what they want, period. That's it. No tolerance. Tolerance is out the window. You will submit. Here is Riley Gaines yesterday, who asked a wonderful question in response to something stupid that Senator Dick Durbin said. Shocking, I know. Cut 16.
And that's the traumatizing part. Of course, the experience in and of the locker room itself is traumatizing, but I think for me, it was so easy for them to dismiss our rights to privacy. Senator Durbin, in your opening statement, you had mentioned this rhetoric. It's you had mentioned that what message does it send to trans individuals? And my combat to that is, what message does this send to women, to young girls who are denied of these opportunities? So easily their rights to privacy and safety thrown out of the window to protect a small population, protect one group as long as they're happy. What about us? That is the overall general consensus of how we all felt in that locker room.
Well, no one cares about you. What about us? What about you? No one cares. The Democrat Party doesn't care anymore. They don't care about you. It's amazing that the party of women's rights and women's liberation and all that, out the window, gone, out the window. And you know why, though? Because Riley Gaines is right. I mean, it's a small group. It's such a small minority. Why would the left completely turn around and just submit like this to a very small but incredibly loud and vocal minority? And the problem for them is they have such lunatics in their ranks. There's no one who's being the adult in the room to say, listen, we draw lines here, okay? And one of the lines we draw is we say men are not competing against women in sports, period. All right. There's no one in the Democrat Party who's corralling the crazies and saying that's just crazy. That's nuts. And we want nothing to do with it. There's no bouncers. You know what I mean? If there was a bouncer around, kick somebody out of the ring for suggesting that at 13 years old, a girl should have a double mastectomy if she thinks that she's a boy and that taxpayer dollars should pay for it. You go, that's crazy. That's nuts. We're not doing this. You're out. But there's no bouncer for the Democrat crazy right now. And until there is, they're going to keep embracing the lunacy. Because there's always going to be, when you get people together who have agendas, inevitably somebody in that group is further than anybody else. You know, goes kooky in one direction or the other. And typically, the group kind of reins that person in sometimes just by the flow of it. You know, think if you've been in a meeting or something like that, and somebody comes up with something really kooky, and you just kind of pretend like that you didn't hear it. You know what I mean? Maybe a meeting at work or something. And you're just like, you go, right. And then you just ignore it. But that's not happening now in the Democrat Party. It's like somebody in the back room goes, I got an idea. How about we advocate gender transition for 8-year-olds? Everybody goes, that's a great idea. Yes, let's embrace it. In fact, if we don't embrace it, we're bigots. So let's do it. And let's change the pride flag to reflect that. They don't have any bouncers for the crazy. Somebody needs to go in there and say, you know what? You're out. Get out. Get out. That's insane. But when James Carville says the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge, this is what he means. In the faculty lounge, they sit around all day and they pontificate stuff like this. And they're, well, maybe gender is a construct and blah, 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 blah. And maybe there are 75 different genders and zzer and zir and zir. And they have these conversations and then they turn around and decide that this is everything. It's like Latinx. Like, nobody actually uses that word in real life. Nobody actually says that outside of the lefty faculty lounge intelligentsia. But then it just became the thing. And you had to just conform to it all of a sudden. So the Democrat Party is in a real spot here because the crazy has infiltrated every rank. And that's why they go down this road. And women see this stuff. And they turn around. You keep talking about suburban moms. Listen, suburban moms driving around with their little girl in the back, they're about to take to soccer or about to take to swim, don't want that little girl to lose out to a dude years later down the road. With all the sacrifices that mom's making, driving around, giving up whatever to take her girl to practice, and what sacrifices her little girl's making, that mom, that suburban mom, thinks this is insane. And the fact that Democrats are okay with this, she thinks that's insane. Because it is insane. Do not discount that. Do not discount that in 2024. And in every other election as well, by the way. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
All right, so we continue along here watching for the latest on the submersible. The latest is still that they found a debris field, but beyond that, no other updates. So I've got five other things to share with you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So it turns out that Bud Light sales have taken the steepest hit yet since the Dylan Mulvaney fiasco. The story just never ends, right? They're down now a whopping 26.8% for the latest week. It is the worst yet for Bud Light. It's every week they actually get worse. So if you think about it, at some point people were thinking, all right, well, how low can they go? It's going to rebound. Nope. It still is getting worse for them every single day. I'm a big fan of the mullet. I like the mullet. It's a good look. It's really coming back now. In fact, my producer in Philly, my associate producer, has a mullet. It's fantastic. Well, if you want to show off your mullet, there's a mullet competition returning to the 2023 Indiana State Fair. That's right. You know, party on the back and business on top. If you've got it, you want to show it, you can flaunt it Saturday, July 29th. The winner is going to take home $500. And most importantly, bragging rights in the USA Mullet Championships Top 25 main event. So if you got what it takes, sign up, all right? Turns out that Jeffrey Epstein ate like a like he was at a buffet recently. Well, before he died, I should say. Well, before he didn't kill himself. Ate like a sixth grader at New York City's fanciest restaurants with Tim Zagat. It's amazing how many people pal around with this pervert, creep, pedophile. Isn't it something? It really is truly amazing. And just when you thought, well, things can't get worse for the world of tennis right now, can they? There's an old clip going around of Serena Williams talking about how different tennis would be if she had to compete against men. Yes, that's right. Expect that one to go viral very, very soon. And now that we have no more Tucker Carlson on Fox News, there is a new undisputed king. It is Greg Gutfeld. His power increases over at Fox News. The only question is, what other changes are coming? This is The Dana Show, and we're coming right back.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Always fun to fill in for my friend Dana, and I am enjoying hanging out with you all week. My name is Rich Zeoli from Dana's affiliate WPHT in Philadelphia, where I can be heard from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. every day on the Afternoon Drive show. And yeah, there's so much to talk about today. There's a IRS whistleblower who says Hunter Biden is getting a sweetheart deal from the Department of Justice and the IRS. Isn't that something? Two IRS whistleblowers told the House Ways and Means Committee, excuse me, that they pressed for felony charges against Hunter Biden after he ducked $2.2 million in tax payments and these whistleblowers charge that evidence implicating the first son was buried by the Justice Department. Amazing. Representative Jason Smith, Republican of Missouri, also told reporters that Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss sought to bring charges against the 53-year-old in both the District of Columbia and Southern California last year and was denied both times, which of course contradicts sworn testimony by Attorney General Merrick Garland. Weiss also made a separate attempt to be appointed a special counsel in the case in the spring of 2022, but that was also turned down, the lawmaker alleged. The shocking allegations came 2 days after Weiss revealed Hunter Biden had accepted a deal in which he agreed to plead guilty to two misdemeanor counts of willful failure to pay taxes on at least $3 million in income earned across 2017 and 2018. Ask Wesley Snipes how that worked out for him. The first son also agreed to enter a pretrial diversion program to avoid a felony charge of owning a firearm while addicted to drugs. He lied in a federal gun form. Ask Kodak Black how that worked out for him. Smith, 43, said IRS investigators were tipped off to evidence located in the guest house of former Vice President Biden, and even displayed a blown-up text message revealing Hunter had demanded money from a Chinese entity while claiming his father was present in the same room. Quote, IRS investigators were told by Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf that because the evidence would be found in the guest house of former Vice President Biden, there is no way a search warrant for evidence would ever get approved. Close quote. Hunter's lawyers were then given a heads up that investigators had probable cause to search the first son's Northern Virginia storage unit, providing an opportunity to remove evidence. Well, that's very helpful, is it not? I mean, you really got to admire how easy they make it for you, if you're Hunter Biden and his attorneys. Attorney General Merrick Garland told Congress Weiss had all the authority necessary. Well, which is it? Did he or did he not? Don't forget, this past March, Senator Chuck Grassley had pressed Merrick Garland on whether Weiss was truly able to bring charges without the approval of other Justice Department officials, specifically if the alleged crime occurred outside Delaware. Quote, without special counsel authority, he could need permission of another U.S. attorney in certain circumstances to bring charges outside the District of Delaware. I would like clarification from you with respect to these concerns. The clarification, of course, was never given. Now, Merrick Garland is a political hack with an axe to grind. This is a guy who wants revenge. Well, they never gave him his Supreme Court hearing. Merrick Garland's very upset by that. He doesn't like you, he doesn't like Republicans, and he's got a lot of power now. He's the Attorney General of the United States. So he's got an axe to grind. Oh, yeah. And he's going to protect his friends, and he's going to use the DOJ against his enemies. He is a man with an axe to grind. They say hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Hell hath no fury like a man who did not get his confirmation hearing for the Supreme Court and then becomes the Attorney General of the United States. Because this guy, whew. Does the Delaware U.S. attorney lack independent charging authority over certain criminal allegations against the president's son outside the District of Delaware? Grassley asked the attorney general. If it's in another district, he would have to bring the case in another district. But as I've said, I've promised to ensure he's able to carry out his investigation and that he be able to run it. And if he needs to bring it in another jurisdiction, he will have full authority to do that, Garland said. But the whistleblowers say that's not true. That's not true. You know, contrary to what people think, the U.S. attorney has a district, and the jurisdiction of that U.S. attorney is only within that district. So if he wants to bring charges from Hunter Biden breaking the law in other districts, he has to seek permission. And typically the permission is granted through what's known as Maine Justice. That's not Maine. It is the headquarters, the United States Department of Justice. Maine Justice, like Main Street. So Maine Justice said, drop dead. No, you're not doing it. You are confined to Delaware and only Delaware. Why, though? Well, to protect Hunter Biden, that's why. Chris Clark, an attorney for Hunter Biden, did not immediately respond to a request for comment from the New York Post. Neither did the IRS. Quote from Congressman Smith, the federal government is not treating taxpayers equally. The IRS recommended charges against Hunter Biden that included attempt to evade or defeat tax, a felony. Fraud or false statements, a felony. And willful failure to file returns, supply information, or pay tax. These tax crimes cover an estimated $2.2 million in unreported tax. What plea deal did Mr. Biden just receive? A slap on the wrist for charges that have put other Americans behind bars. Absolutely. But also, don't forget something. In addition to that, we know now from these whistleblowers that it was never, ever really a fair investigation. That as much as Merrick Garland said the United States Attorney in Delaware had all this authority, he really didn't have all this authority. It was a fugazi, as we say, my people, the Italians. It's a fugazi. It was fake. He was limited. DOJ covered up Hunter Biden tax fraud. Of course they did. This is about protecting Joe Biden. You ever think to yourself, why did they work so hard back in 2020 to say the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation? I mean, think of the effort that was required by this. First of all, to get 51 former national security deep state hacks to all agree to sign a letter. That's very difficult to do. These people have gigantic egos and they can't agree on anything. So to get them all to agree to a letter, that's a big feat in and of itself. And they did it in a matter of days. To set the stage for big tech and the corporate media to work together to report that all this was nonsense, Russian disinformation, don't take the New York Post seriously, ignore it. That took a lot of work, a lot of effort. For all these people to go on TV and say this was Russian disinformation, it's a lot of credibility they were putting out there. For what? Because they were protecting Hunter Biden from scandalous nudes? From pictures of him snorting crack off the rear end of a hooker? No, of course not. It was because on the laptop is evidence of Joe Biden's corruption. And we were very close to an election, if you remember, in 2020, in October of 2020 when this came out. Very close. You know, I think about the, I call it the unholy triad. It's this connection between the corporate media, big tech, and the government. And they all work together. It's like how they worked together during COVID to tell you that the virus came from a undercooked bat burger at the Wuhan wet market, and that the lab leak theory was a conspiracy theory. You know, they all worked together to say that the vaccines were perfectly safe and everybody should get them and they stop transmission and you never die from COVID and, you know, all those lies. And they also worked together to make sure that everybody, oh, masks. Well, masks, are the, they work. They really work. All the lies. And kids are resilient. They won't be hurt by schools being closed. They all coordinate together. And they coordinated about Hunter Biden, too. In the fall of 2020. In fact, there's a tweet. I always check it to see if it's still up. It's from October 19th, 2020, 10:45 p.m. I don't know if she had a couple cocktails by then. I know that when I'm tweeting at 10:45 p.m., it's usually because I've had a cocktail or two. I'm not judging, but believe me, I make no judgments. I'm just simply saying my own, you know, why are you tweeting at 10:45 p.m.? But Jen Psaki tweeted out, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, comma, dozens of former intel officials say. That tweet is still up there with a link to the Politico story about it. Still up there. And it's never been taken down. I think that's cute. I really do. So you see, when you think about it, when you look into these issues, oh, by the way, Biden's holding a rare joint news conference with the Indian prime minister. We'll monitor this for you, of course. When you think about it, the Herculean effort that was made to tell you and everybody that the laptop was Russian disinformation wasn't about protecting Hunter. It was about protecting Joe. It's the same thing that's happening now. Don't for a second believe they're just helping out the boss's kid to curry favor with the boss. No. It's that if they were to look outside of Delaware, if they were to really do an investigation, if they were to really charge him, he might name names. And those names might name other names. And that ultimately might lead to the big guy himself. You cannot have that happen. But now the laptop's out there. So the laptop may become part of the 2024 conversation. And I think that Joe Biden's corruption will also become part of the 2024 conversation. James Comer says, and he's the chairman, and he's pursuing this like a dog with a bone. This is what his sources have told him. Cut number 12.
It's a double standard. Anyone else in America whose last name isn't Biden or Clinton would have gone to jail, and they would have gone to jail 3 or 4 years ago for what Hunter Biden did. The FBI, the DOJ, the IRS, none of those government agencies have looked into anything with the Bidens. My sources tell me that they were told to stand down at all of these agencies. They hope to run out the statute of limitations, and they hope that the Democrats would retain control of the House of Representatives and the Senate, so this would just go away.
Just go away. To protect who? To protect Joe Biden. That's it. Here's Merrick Garland, who deflects when he's asked the question about a different standard of justice. And I love how the media, too, before I play this, the media was very upset that one of their fellow reporters, this guy from the Associated Press in Europe, had the audacity to ask the Attorney General such a question like this. Cut nine.
Do these cases reflect a different standard of justice depending on political leanings?
So as I said, from the moment of my appointment as Attorney General, I would leave this matter in the hands of the United States Attorney, who was appointed by the previous president and assigned to this matter by the previous administration, that he would be given full authority to decide the matter as he decided was appropriate. That's what he's done. And if you have any further questions about that matter, you should direct him to the U.S. Attorney to explain his decision.
Well, the whistleblowers say that what you just said is complete and utter BS. The U.S. Attorney in Delaware did not have complete control. And that's why we've been saying for the longest time, you know what we need? A special counsel. A special counsel who will have the authority to look anywhere and everywhere and won't have to answer to Maine justice and won't have to worry about the Attorney General shutting him down. For years, people have been saying there should be a special counsel. John Durham was a special counsel. The U.S. Attorney in Delaware is not. There's a difference. Special counsels can go anywhere they want. U.S. attorneys are confined to their district. And if they want to go outside the district, they need permission. Merrick Garland stands up there and he tells you a complete and utter fabrication. Oh, he's got all the authority he needs. Blah, 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 blah. No, he doesn't. These whistleblowers are not lying. These whistleblowers are blowing the whistle on the fact that he actually had his hands tied. And maybe the reason why is because he was a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney. You know, you keep hearing that, too, from the media. As a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney, so obviously, whatever. So what? So then you tied his hands, is what you did. But you stand up there and you lie about it. And of course, the corporate media in this country doesn't push back on that. The New York Post is going to write that story. Nobody else is going to touch it. You might have a cover-up going on in the Department of Justice and the Attorney General lying about this. Nobody will touch it. Nobody. But we will, of course. We certainly will. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for my friend Dana. It's great to be with you on a busy Thursday. We're coming right back.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
You know, there are crazy people, tyrants, who are in the Bureau of the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, and they are trying to make you a criminal if you have a pistol brace. I'm going to get into this in the next hour because Senator Kennedy gave a wonderful explanation of what it is on the floor of the Senate. Very, very scary piece of equipment. And of course, I know Dana's talked a lot about this as well. And Killa Mike, rapper Killa Mike, came out and said today, you know, he's a big fan of the Second Amendment. He said, there are no new gun laws are going to stop anything. He said, criminals are not going to follow the laws. Imagine that. Isn't that something? Wow. Yeah, he's right about that, of course. He's spoken out a lot in the past, so that's good. We are watching the submersible to see if there's any new developments on that. And President Biden is also holding a rare joint news conference with the Indian Prime Minister. So if there's anything on that, we'll watch it for you as well. All right. But it's time for the show for us to check in on Florida.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, this guy swallowed cocaine during a traffic stop and could have died. This Florida man, according to Fox 35 Orlando, was very desperate to hide drugs. So he chose to swallow his cocaine during a traffic stop Tuesday night. Flagler County deputies said Leslie Brock swallowed the drugs as deputies were trying to pull him over for a traffic citation. When they approached the driver's side of the vehicle, deputies spotted a torn open baggie on his lap with small white flakes consistent with cocaine on his shorts. The sheriff's office shared body camera video of the arrest, which showed Brock refusing to step out of the car multiple times when asked. "Step out of the car," deputies heard saying. "What I did, though," he replied. Deputies ultimately removed Brock from the car and placed him in handcuffs. At the scene, they tested the flakes found in his car, which were presumptive positive for cocaine. And he was seen spitting out a white substance. He said, "So you found cocaine on me, bro? It's in your spit," the deputy replied. He was taken to a hospital in Palm Coast for treatment after ingesting a large amount of narcotics. This poison peddler could have died while attempting to conceal his narcotics by swallowing them, said the sheriff in a statement. "If you get caught with illegal narcotics, don't make things worse by swallowing them. He is lucky to be alive and will be heading to the Green Roof Inn once he is released from the hospital." He's still in the hospital as of this morning, pending medical clearance. He is facing charges of resisting arrest, possession of cocaine, and tampering with evidence. What a true criminal mastermind, huh? No question about it. And this one is also interesting. This Florida man was arrested for refusing to leave the waters of the Gulf while double red flags were flying. The man was sprinting across the beach from deputies after returning to the shore. So this was in Panama City Beach, Florida. Deputies in the panhandle arrested a man on Panama City Beach who refused to get out of the water during dangerous swimming conditions. Garrison Creamer, what a name, huh? Garrison Creamer, 38 years old, was arrested and is facing multiple charges, including violation of the double red flag ordinance. Double red flags flew Tuesday, June 20th, which means the water was closed to the public. However, that didn't stop the man from swimming in the water with a boogie board. Deputies used their public address systems to alert the man to the danger he potentially faced by being in the water, but he refused to leave the Gulf. The agency's air unit also flew above to alert the man, but he remained in the water. After 25 minutes or so passed, Creamer returned to the shoreline with his boogie board and tried to avoid deputies by running through a large crowd that gathered on the sand to watch. A video posted on the sheriff's office Facebook showed the man sprinting across the beach. Following a short chase, deputies were able to catch up to him and take him into custody near the sand dunes. He was charged with obstruction of justice and resisting the battery on a law enforcement officer. He was later booked in the Bay County Jail. Quote from the sheriff, "As double red flags were posted, swimming conditions in the water were too dangerous for anyone, even with a boogie board. Only those tethered to a surfboard can enter the water during double red flags." So a happy ending there for this Florida man. Big 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock hour coming up here on the Dana Show. We're coming right back. Don't go away. All right, so we are awaiting an update from the United States Coast Guard about the missing submersible. The latest on that is that they have a debris field they have located near the Titanic. And President Biden is holding a rare joint news conference with the Indian Prime Minister. And I'm telling you, it really sounds like they're feeding him the answers in that little ear translation piece that he's wearing. It reminds me of when you ever see a bad school play. And it's very obvious the kids don't know their lines and the director is off to the side feeding them the lines. It reminds me of that. It's painful. Anyway, welcome to the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. Great to be with you from her affiliate, WPHT, in Philadelphia, where I host the afternoon drive show every day from 3 to 7 p.m. Lot to get to this hour. Just seeing if Biden's going to say anything particularly relevant regarding either Hunter or Trump or something like that. He was asked the question. He is saying climate change is the most serious threat to humanity, obviously, even though we didn't die yesterday. Greta Thunberg told us we were going to die yesterday, and I was expecting yesterday to be the day. So I lived yesterday like it was my last day, and now I'm still here. So I'm a little bit annoyed by her, but it's okay because I got another day out of it. But Biden says it's the greatest threat to humanity. He was also asked the question of, do you regret calling the head of China, you know, Xi Jinping, a dictator? And he mumbled and he obfuscated and didn't answer the question. So anyway, that's Biden. And, you know, we'll we'll see if he says anything relevant. You know, obviously, Dana is a huge supporter, defender, fighter for the Second Amendment. I always admire that about her. And the issue of ankle braces, and this is something, pistol braces in particular, pistol braces, I should say, that the ATF is trying to outlaw because they hate them. And ATF is just, you know, these are people, again, these are bureaucrats who make up rules. Congress doesn't pass laws anymore. So this is the bigger problem with the federal government writ large, and it's this. Because Congress doesn't pass laws, we have empowered the executive department of government to make up the laws. They're not supposed to. The legislature's supposed to. There's something called the Chevron deference. It is a doctrine of federal law that says just give the feds, give the executive department whatever leniency it needs to make rules and make laws. Now, that is being challenged, and the Supreme Court is going to hear this. And I'm hoping and praying, as should every conservative and every libertarian, that the Supreme Court will overturn Chevron. If they do, it's going to severely limit the ability of the executive department of government to make up rules that come with jail time and penalties and restrict your freedom and restrict your liberty. So the problem is, because the executive branch of government is able to make rules, if Congress wants to change it, it has to pass a law undoing the rule. That's not how it's supposed to be. Clearly in the Constitution, Article 1 is the legislature. They're supposed to make the laws. And then the executive branch is supposed to interpret those laws. But that's not how we do things anymore in this country. So they make a rule. In this case, Final Rule 2021-R-OF. And the latest from ATF is the effective factoring criteria for firearms with attached stabilizing braces. And the rule outlines the factors and blah, blah, blah. Now, this is the kind of thing that reads like legislation. If you read this, you think to yourself, oh, this is a bill. And I know how a bill becomes law. House, mouse, Senate, cat. I know what happens. School of Rock, baby. I learned this. So here's what happens. A bill is introduced in the House, and then it's voted on. It goes to the Senate. They vote on a bill. They might have to have a conference. They make it. They send it to the president. He can either sign it or veto it. If he vetoes it, they can override his veto. If he doesn't do anything, it'll become law automatically. That's what we learned. We learned that about how bills become law in this country. No. Now what the executive department does is it goes, you know what, let's bust the chops of law-abiding citizens. Let's make life difficult for law-abiding Americans. Let's make it a pain in the neck for them to exercise their Second Amendment freedoms. Let's just make up a rule. And we'll make up this rule and we'll publish it in the Federal Register. There's a comment period. The comment period is the equivalent of comments that people don't read. Like at a bed and breakfast or something. You know what I mean? Like there's that book and everybody writes things in there. And you know that the innkeeper never reads it, because if the innkeeper read it, they'd know, like, you know, like, I mean, these sheets are stink. You know what I mean? But they write this stuff down. It's kind of like that. The Federal Register is like that. So you can comment during the comment period. They don't care. They've already decided. They're just going through the motions. So you could comment and say, this is unconstitutional. This is ridiculous. All the stabilizing brace does is help people who don't have maybe like two hands, for example. This is stupid. Don't make another rule here. Don't make another law. You don't have the right to do that. But they don't care. They're going to do it anyway. So then most people don't even bother, because it is a waste of time. And people have been speaking out against this. Tom Massey's been leading the fight in the House. And Senator John Kennedy has been leading the fight in the Senate. Senator Kennedy spoke about this issue a short time ago. This is what he said.
Trigger warning. This is a pistol brace. I know it's scary. This is a pistol brace. It fits on your forearm. Like this. Put up that. Here it is, right here. To the pistol brace is added another piece that grips the handgun. That's what we're talking about here. A pistol brace is also known, this scary piece of equipment here, is also known as a stabilizing brace or an arm brace. It's a simple device. It's mounted to the rear of the pistol. It's designed to anchor the pistol to the shooter's arm, right here. It goes on the forearm. So the shooter can shoot the pistol with one hand.
Now, because we live in an upside-down world, in a world of Chevron, where the executive department gets to make laws, the legislative branch has to pass a law to undo the rule set by the executive. It's completely upside down. It's not how it's supposed to be. I mean, literally, Congress passes laws and the executive department is supposed to enforce those laws. But because of the Chevron deference, whether it's EPA, ATF, whatever it is, they can do pretty much whatever they want. They can take something like the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and they can go, well, now we're going to regulate water in your backyard. And even though in the past several years, this court, this Supreme Court, has been trying to rein this in until they overturn Chevron once and for all, we're going to continue having this problem. Now, the case that they're dealing with Chevron, which is very interesting, has to do with this stupid law that has to do with federal monitors on top of fishing boats with some obscure fish. And it costs a lot of money. And again, it's just a rule that they came up with, not a law. And so that's literally the case that's going to go before the Supreme Court. And I think that if they overturn Chevron, it will do more to help right the ship in terms of the balance of how the government is supposed to be. It's that serious. Just take the pistol. I mean, just take the brace issue right here, right? Pistol brace. I'll share this with you from the Washington Examiner. President Joe Biden's pistol brace rule is at the center of both a congressional and legal battle as the Republicans and gun rights supporters fight back against the gun control measure they claim infringes on Second Amendment rights. And it does. Republican legislation to repeal Biden's pistol brace rule. Just think about that one line. That line says it all for you. That line right there is exactly the problem. Republican legislation to repeal a rule. The fact that the Congress has to do that is the problem with our government. So there's two issues here. One is, of course, the attack on the Second Amendment. And the other issue is the out of control executive branch of government, which ever since the day and age of Franklin Delano Roosevelt has just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And it is now, in fact, at one point, they did this bipartisan criminal justice review. They wanted to figure out how many laws actually exist. And when you say law, you think something passed by Congress. But it's anything. They wanted to look at anything that carried a fine, a jail, anything. So that includes a whole lot of federal rules, executive branch rules. And guess what? There were so many, they gave up counting. They couldn't count. They gave up. That's part of the problem. So now the Republicans are trying to repeal the executive branch rule on pistol braces. The rule, finalized by the ATF in January, categorizes pistols with stabilizing braces as heavily regulated short-barreled rifles due to their accuracy and concealability. It was one of several gun control strategies that the Biden administration rolled out in response to the Boulder, Colorado grocery store shooting in 2021. The rule requires those with firearms equipped with stabilizing braces to complete government registration by May 31st. If they do not, they could face up to 10 years in prison or a $10,000 fine. You see what I mean? If this were a law, it never would have passed Congress. The Republicans would have blocked it. But this is what the left does. The left goes outside of Congress whenever they can, either through the Supreme Court or through the executive branch, to make the laws that they want. And this isn't a suggestion. When the executive branch comes out with a rule, it has the force of law. It has the force of putting you in prison and taking your money. Up, in this case, up to 10 years in prison. The fact that we have to actually have this conversation is the problem. This is what infuriates me about this country. Right now, in this moment, that the legislative branch has to undo a rule that the executive branch put in place that could make you a federal prison inmate for 10 years if you don't register with the government and give you a $10,000 fine. In late May, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit temporarily blocked the Biden administration from fully implementing the new stabilizing brace regulations. Biden has argued the accessories are especially dangerous due to their use in several mass shootings. However, gun owners and the Second Amendment groups are challenging the ATF rule. The Firearms Policy Coalition, one of the plaintiffs, deems the rule onerous and unconstitutional, because it is. Biden's regulation was temporarily blocked by a federal judge in Texas, but the battle still continues. All right, this is the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We got a lot more to talk about before we come to the end of the show, so don't go away.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
All right, as we continue along here on The Dana Show, watching for the Coast Guard update soon. And the big story, the IRS whistleblower says the Department of Justice slow-walked the Hunter Biden probe. So it's a busy, busy day, and I'm grateful that you are here today with me, Rich, in the honor of filling in for my friend Dana. But we got five things. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Aaron Rodgers talks about taking psychedelics at a conference. Oh, yeah. This is the new rage now, you know. Psychedelic drugs to help you with your mental health issues. And it's really catching on, actually. It's run by a psychedelic advocacy group, and it took place after Colorado voters joined Oregon in decriminalizing psychedelic mushrooms. Shrooms. And they say it helps with all kinds of different things. Post-traumatic stress disorder, alcoholism. Medical experts, of course, caution that more research is needed on the drug's efficacy and extent of the risks of psychedelics, which can cause hallucinations and undercut the profits of drug companies. The PGA Tour plans to testify at a Senate hearing on the LIV merger, but a lot of questions still remain. Top officials at the PGA Tour and the Saudi-backed LIV Golf have been invited to testify at a Senate hearing on July 11th on the deal, and the tour said it would participate. The invitations were issued Wednesday by Senators Richard Blumenthal and Ron Johnson, chairman and ranking member of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, and mark an early phase of what appears likely to be a broad probe on the merger. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan and LIV Golf CEO Greg Norman and the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund's Yasser Al-Rumayyan all received letters to come and testify. Obviously, this is proving to be very, very controversial. Science proves something we've all known. Conservative women are more attractive. And yes, that is a result you can trust. I have no doubt about that in my life. I've seen them. I know this for a fact. Conservative women are more attractive, and left-wing women have this face about them where they're just very annoyed. They're just, you know, looking at that face of they're just judging you and looking down. Because you call it Karen face? No, there's a lot of very attractive Karens on the right, of course. But I don't know. I think if you were to put the lefty women in a room and the conservative women in a room, you'd have no doubt which was which just by the looks. Is that shallow? You're damn right it is. Am I proud of saying that? You're damn right I am. And if you doubt it, just look at Dana. It's beautiful, right? Absolutely. Reading and math achievement is getting worse, according to the nation's report card. All the lockdowns with COVID, while teenagers' math and reading performance has continued to fall on the test known as the nation's report card, with math scores showing the largest ever decline since the National Assessment of Educational Progress began tracking long-term trends in student performance. Scores for 13-year-olds fell 9 points in math between 2019 and 2020 and the 2022-2023 school year. Reading scores fell by 4 points. So whenever you hear people like Randy Weingarten and others talk about how the school closures had no impact on the children, you know that they're lying. One of the worst things we ever did to our kids was keep them out of school, not only for their academic scores, but for their mental health as well. It was a disaster and something our nation is still reeling with today. And finally, LAPD drug dogs sniff out guns and drugs hidden in a vending machine. A Los Angeles police dog is being hailed a hero after he located a massive cache of narcotics and an assault rifle that was hidden inside a vending machine. The drug bust happened in Los Angeles as part of a county sheriff's investigation. The brave pup sniffed out the drugs and the gun, which were hidden in a nondescript soda vending machine. I mean, literally, the machine just says cold drinks on it. That alone looks sketchy. You know, it's not a Coke machine or a Pepsi machine. It just says cold drinks. And inside, drugs and a gun. So bravo to this brave furry cop. All right, we got a big hour coming up here, a big half hour still to go on The Dana Show. Latest updates, breaking news. Don't go away.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Some breaking news. Sky News is reporting that a friend of two of the men missing on board the submersible has confirmed that the debris that they found was a landing frame and a rear cover from the submersible. And that was a message that he received on a WhatsApp message, which was it happened live on Sky News when he was speaking. So that is the latest. I don't know if that's been confirmed by the Coast Guard. They're going to have a briefing on that at 3 p.m., which I will take live at my show in Philadelphia at 3 p.m. if you are sticking around with me on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. We'll see what happens. Obviously, this is, it doesn't sound good. If that's the case, then it doesn't sound very optimistic. It sounds very, very sad indeed. So, but as of right now, they're just saying that it's just debris. They haven't confirmed anything more specific, though I imagine that they'll do that probably at 3 o'clock today, I would assume. Checking in on the presidential race of 2024, get a little audio for you. Here's Governor Ron DeSantis suing the Biden administration. Why is Governor Ron DeSantis suing the Biden administration? Cut 17.
The Attorney General and I today are filing a lawsuit against the Biden administration, against the Department of Education, Secretary Cardona, and other plaintiffs. And we're asking the court to find this arrangement to be unconstitutional. And it's unconstitutional in a couple ways. First, you cannot take legislative power and delegate it to an unaccountable private body and let them administer that power without any type of checks and balances.
And the governor also talked about Randy Weingarten. Now, Randy Weingarten, I call her the troll under the bridge because she's always trying to get kids milk money. Randy Weingarten is the head of the National Teachers Union. She's a very powerful person. She's just been appointed to a very powerful position in Washington dealing with school safety. It's almost like a joke, right? I mean, she was at the center of keeping schools closed during COVID, even though we knew at the time kids were not dying of COVID. They were not getting sick from COVID. They were fine. But the damage that we did to them during COVID was incalculable. Well, Teachers Union head Randy Weingarten has been appointed to a Department of Homeland Security School Safety Board. So I imagine she's going to be instrumental then in deciding which parents are terrorists. Don't forget, they did that. Don't forget, the Biden administration put out that letter, the school board's letter, with Merrick Garland and the FBI saying, we might be watching you, mom in yoga pants. We might be watching you, you dad in the back of the room. Don't be upset. Don't speak out. We hate to have the FBI come knock on your door. Well, Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, was appointed with 20 other members to the Homeland Security Academic Partnership Council. The board will be advising on school safety and more. Quote, leaders of our academic institutions and campus life have a great deal to offer in helping us counter the evolving and emerging threats to the homeland, said DHS Secretary and Middle Management Whiz Alejandro Mayorkas. The Homeland Security Academic Partnership Council's insights into strategic research, innovation, career development, and partnership opportunities for the department will support our mission to safeguard the American people and help our country think through and prepare for whatever threats lie ahead. I am grateful to each of the 20 council members I am appointing today for their willingness to serve, blah, blah, blah. Now, I have no doubts in my mind. This will definitely include parents who speak out at school board meetings and become a pain in the neck because that's what they tried to do years ago. So, of course, they're going to do this again. Here's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis responding to that, cut 18.
So I think it was really bad. So she should not be in any position of authority. And, maybe someone will have something to say about that in about a year and a half to be able to get that right.
Well, not if this guy has something to do with it. Former President Donald Trump had a lot to say about Ron DeSantis when he sat down with Bret Baier for his two-day interview extravaganza. Cut 11.
The very stupid and little respected China-loving Club for No Growth, which has been backing Ron DeSanctimonious as his poll numbers have been absolutely crashing, has just spent some of the rhino money they have accumulated on an ad campaign hoping to counter the fact that DeSantis, just off the worst presidential launch in history, opted three times to cut and destroy Social Security, even lifting the minimum age to 70 years old. He also voted to cut Medicare and institute a 23% national sales tax, which will hit our country hard. Ron has always been a loser.
I was mistaken when I said it was the Brett Baer interview, though he did shred him during that as well. Melvin Hostman is a newly elected member of the executive board of the Richmond, Virginia Education Association. And this is what this guy said. He said that remote learning during the pandemic and then the subsequent challenges that our students dealt with math and reading scores dropping, was actually a good thing, and suggested that since all students experience learning loss, aren't we all equal? You know, dumb it down. Teach to the dumbest kid in class. And in this case now, by lowering test scores, we can make everybody equal. This is what the left thinks of equity. They really do. The whole thing about learning loss I found funny is that if everyone was out of school and everyone had learning loss, then aren't we all equal? We all have a deficit. This man's an educator. This man's an educator. Unbelievable. He taught high school history for 6 years. Wow. Now, he's not running for president yet, but he wants to be. And that is Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. So as you know, 95, which is a major, major federal highway, something that I take to work almost every day of my life. Well, it blew up. A bridge blew up. It was a big tanker truck. I was walking through my neighborhood one day, because I live in South Jersey, but right across the river from Philadelphia. And I'm walking through my neighborhood one day, and I see one of my neighbors, and she's walking towards the river. I don't live far from the river. She said, did you hear what happened? I said, no, what? She said, a tanker caught fire, and 95 blew up. I said, what? Ran down there to see it. You could see plumes of smoke in the sky. Turned on the TV. And I wasn't sure if she meant a tanker ship or a tanker truck, but sure enough, it was a tanker truck. And it was going so fast, smashed in, blew up, 95. That got so hot that the bridge actually was destroyed after that. And now the question is, how fast can they rebuild? How fast can they get the rebuilding done and get this back open? And if he can do this, the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, will have major political points. He really will. Because, look, governors get tested on this kind of stuff. If he's able to pull this off, it'll be 2 weeks early from when he said that the replacement, it's not going to be the permanent one, but at least for now, we'll get it back open. And he's got an interesting way he's going about doing it. But watch for Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro to enter the national political space in the years to come. Cut 19.
Yeah, we need sort of patches of dry time in order to complete the paving and, really importantly, the striping process. So get this. We reached out to our friends at Pocono Raceway, and I'm a NASCAR guy. So's our PennDOT secretary, our amazing PennDOT secretary, Mike Carroll. And they are bringing in today the jet dryer that's used along the Pocono Raceway track. Yeah. To jet dry this section of 95 to allow us to do the rest of the paving and the striping together.
You know, it's this kind of stuff that determines whether or not people become national figures or not. Look at Chris Christie after Superstorm Sandy, Governor Ron DeSantis after the latest hurricane. These are what people judge these governors on, how quickly they can rebuild on things. So as you think about the news of the day today, we're all obviously still watching the submersible. The Coast Guard's going to give an update. And I mentioned earlier, this is still the debris. And the question, of course, of whether or not this is remnants of the submersible, we can just only, you know, keep praying that they're still going to be able to find at least some survivors. But it's not looking very good right now. It really isn't. It's just a terrible, terrible situation. When it comes to the education issue, though, and school closures, you hear DeSantis battling Randy Weingarten. He's made education first and foremost in his campaign, battling woke, battling these schools, battling the curriculum. And it's a national issue. It really is. And it's something that he's using in his race for president of the United States. New test data shows that COVID school closures rapidly accelerated U.S. learning losses throughout the country. And although that idiot in Virginia says it makes everybody even, it makes everybody on the same playing field, what it really means, and you know this and I know this, is it means that our children have just one more challenge affecting them. But outside of Florida, in places like New Jersey, where I live, there's also something else the kids are dealing with, which is indoctrination. And this is happening across the country in a lot of blue states. Two particular issues. One is the LGBTQ+, IA, every letter of the alphabet stuff. The other is climate change. In New Jersey, kids have to learn about climate change. And my kids are too young. They haven't had this indoctrination yet, but it's coming. And the problem is that we have lost control over curriculum. We've turned it over to bureaucrats. when it comes to the LGBTQ plus IA, every letter of the alphabet stuff, during COVID, they passed some legislation without anybody even realizing they were doing it to put in these standards, teaching kids as young as kindergarten about sex. And parents don't want this, which is why parents have started to get very active in running for school board elections, in speaking up and trying to have a say in things. It always seems, and I mentioned this earlier in the show today on the Dana Show, that the left keeps going further left and crazy, and they don't have a bouncer to kick anybody out and say, this is too nuts, this is crazy. They want to indoctrinate children to open them up to the crazy ideas, because kids are very impressionable, obviously. And the United Nations now says minors can consent to sex. According to the Free Beacon, sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to sex may be consensual in fact, if not in law, then in theory, according to the UN. The United Nations is working to mainstream sex with minors, stating in a report that relations with underage individuals can be considered consensual despite worldwide prohibitions on such acts. From a March report they put out at the United Nations, United Nations-backed organization said, sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent sex may be consensual, in fact, if not in law, if these acts are part of a human rights-based approach to laws governing sexual relations. The enforcement of criminal law should reflect the rights and capacity of persons under 18 years of age to make such decisions about engaging in consensual sexual conduct and the right to be heard in matters concerning them. Now, certainly, you might question, okay, 16, 17, how young do they go? Well, that's the problem, is they don't say. They don't say. So what is the age then that a kid really knows? But notice how this is coming in tandem with the gender affirming care nonsense, which is, of course, code for chopping off body parts and mutilating children's bodies and giving them these experimental drugs, the hormone puberty blockers, which are not approved for gender transition. But this is, again, the idea, right? Kids should start doing this as young as, what, 8 years old, maybe? 8, 9, 10, 11? We are trying to destroy the innocence of childhood to advance an agenda that the left wants. And this is another example of this. If you can say that kids as young as, what, 13 years old should be able to consent to sex, they can certainly be able to consent to chopping their body parts off or having body parts added to them. They can certainly consent to these things. But ironically enough, though, these same lefties, if you say to them, well, then don't you think a 13 kid should be able to fire a gun? They'll scream at you from the loudest perch they can find to tell you, these are just kids. Keep the guns out of their hands. Same with cigarettes, too. They keep trying to raise that age to 21. The left is so inconsistent when it comes to the age of consent. It's remarkable. All right, we got a lot more to talk about here on the Dana Show in our final moments, as there's breaking news regarding the debris field found in the search for the submersible. Don't go away.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
All right, we have some sad news, the breaking news. The OceanGate CEO has come out and said that we believe that they believe all the passengers aboard the submersible have been lost, and they grieve the loss of life. So not surprising, given the fact that it's been so many days now that they've been underwater. But nevertheless, they have said that, and they have still not found. I don't think they found the submersible, but then again, we're hearing conflicting reports about the debris and what that debris is. The Coast Guard's going to give her an update at 3 p.m. But yeah, that's the breaking news. Actually, during the break, as a matter of fact, here on the Dana Show, where the OceanGate CEO came out and said, we grieve the loss of life. We believe that everybody aboard has been lost. So it's very, very sad, obviously. And, you know, it's amazing to see how so many different countries came together for this rescue mission to try to save these people. And it was obviously an incredible long shot from the get-go, given that this thing was 22 feet long and had no way for it to be controlled, you know. So, but yeah, that's the latest. And you know, it's, they believe all passengers have been lost. So at that point, now it becomes a recovery effort to try to recover the vessel and see what they can learn from it and what went wrong. And I imagine they're going to keep trying to do that for some time. All right. A couple of other clips I wanted to share with you before the end of the show today. I love this particular one. This congressman down in Texas, Congressman Nels, you know, the whole thing with Eric Swalwell is that he had relations, supposedly, with a Chinese spy named Feng Feng. And Feng Feng was, well, quite the number, you know, Feng Feng, and a spy. And so Swalwell was actually, you know, kicked off the Intelligence Committee because Swalwell was having relations with a Chinese spy named Feng Feng. And when this this congressman, the way he referred to Feng Feng yesterday, might just be my favorite audio clip of the week. Cut seven.
You want to irritate the suburban mom at home? 5 months before an election, tell them the Republican leading candidate is peeing on prostitutes. We are aware of the member of this committee having an alleged affair with a Chinese spy. I refer to as Yum Yum. But this is a new low for anyone. And I would hope Mr. Swalwell would agree with me. Imagine if somebody would have said and taken it this step further. Mr. Swalwell was peeing on Yum Yum.
Yum Yum. I love that, by the way. Instead of Fang Fang, it's Yum Yum. It's fantastic. And finally, Eric Swalwell asked Special Counsel John Durham about sharing sensitive data with spies because this guy has no appreciation of irony. Cut 10.
Did you prove false in the 16 campaign that Trump's campaign manager gave polling data to a spy for a Russian intelligence service?
We didn't investigate that.
Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. Well, listen, these guys are geniuses. They really, really are. So, you know, never let them for a moment convince you otherwise. Although it's not very hard for them to cease to prove that they're being idiots. Just they have to open their mouth. That's all they got to do is just open their mouth. That's it. All right, Steve, give me something else that's stupid for the day, if you would, please.
Oh, I can do that. I don't know what podcast she was on, but Kamala Harris was trying to make a comparison to something, and she brought up some old metaphor that I heard when I was little, and I don't even know how this relates to anything, but here we go.
I think of those two frogs. You know, the two frogs in the two pots? So, for your listeners, here it goes. So, there are two pots of water and two frogs. And in one pot, you put the frog in the water and you slowly turn up the heat. And that frog's just hanging out as the heat just slowly gets hotter to the point that that water starts to boil and that frog perishes. In the other pot of water, you first turn up the heat real high. The water is boiling. You drop that frog in, he'll jump right out. Mm. The lesson there, as far as I'm concerned, don't be that first frog.
Don't be that first frog, Steve. Well done. Well done. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, listen, thank you for hanging out with me this afternoon. I appreciate it here on The Dana Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, RichZeoli. I will now go and host my show in Philadelphia on WPHT. Have a great rest of your day. I will be back with you tomorrow here on The Dana Show. Thanks for listening.